I should also add that Tolkien, I think, recognized the problems in his own secondary world about healing and the marring of the world, even though he didn't address them at all in The Lord of the Rings. There's a late Tolkienian text called the Athrabeth na Finrod Andreth, which is the conversation of Athrabeth and Finrod. Finrod is an elf, Athrabeth is an old woman. And in this and some other texts, Tolkien explained that the way Morgoth, the first Dark Lord, messed up the world was he basically broke off piece himself, like a glacier calving off icebergs. Because Tolkien believed that evil could not create things, but you have to have some kind of animating power in your orcs and your dragons and your monsters. These are all little bits of the Dark Lord's spirit that have now been spread throughout the earth, so that you can kill off the Dark Lord, or you can exile him from the world, but there's still lots of little bits of him throughout the world, and you can't get rid of all those bits, and thus the world is marred, and can only be healed, Tolkien thought, by the creator of the world actually entering into it. This is his idea about the incarnation. Now, that doesn't show up in The Lord of the Rings, and I think Donaldson would explicitly reject it. Donaldson is not trying to come up with a Christian view. Instead, he's suggesting the way that healing can come through sacrifice and through the removal of evil things, but that people still have to pay a very, very high price for it, and an individual price, which is what happens with Thomas Covenant. So what happened after the success of Tolkien opened the doors to mass market fantasy is that people like Brooks and Donaldson, so with the Sword of Shannara and with the Thomas Covenant books, they expanded the types of characters and the situations that fantasy literature could handle. They labored in the shadow of Tolkien, and they didn't quite meet him or match him in aesthetic terms. And they fought against the anxiety of influence very strongly, trying to set off on their own paths. Even if they had imitated him to begin with, they, by the end of their writings, by the last book, or in Brooks's case, the books still keep going on, they had found some way to write their own stories after they'd gotten the Tolkien out of their system. In the next lecture, we're going to look at writers who managed to escape Tolkien's shadow, who, as much as they might have had anxiety of influence about him, managed to create their own fully realized secondary worlds that aren't a gloss on Tolkien or a calque on Tolkien or an imitation or reaction to Tolkien. And those two writers, Ursula Le Guin and Robert Holdstock, are, in my opinion, the greatest living writers of fantasy at this particular time.
After listening to Lecture 10, a student posed this question to Professor Drought. Does Donaldson ever acknowledge his parallels with Tolkien? Let's listen to the professor's response.
Donaldson denies that his works have anything to do with Tolkien, but I don't think anyone's actually confronted him with the very specific parallels and even the volcano in the middle of the world. I think that's a real key also to tell if something's derivative or not. Is there a volcano? If there's a volcano, it's derivative of Tolkien. There really aren't that many volcanoes in the primary world that they have to be represented in the secondary world. And Donaldson has argued, I think, that the important thing to look at in Thomas Covenant is how different his hero is from the Tolkienian hero. But nevertheless, it's still there and it's still influential.
This ends Lecture 10. Remember to visit this course's website at www.modernscholar.com, where you'll find additional information about the lectures that you just heard. If you borrow this course from a public library and would like your own copy of the course guide for future reference, call Recorded Books at 1-800-636-3399 and we'll send you a free copy. A shipping charge will apply.